Bizarre.
WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Well, this is interesting. A Birmingham woman, armed with a promise, or maybe a threat, depends on how you look at it, she tried to rob a bank Wednesday morning. Now, the holdup...
With a promise?
Well, listen to this. The holdup attempt happened just before 10 a.m. at Regions Bank. Deputies responded to a report that a African-American female had entered the bank and handed the manager a note demanding money. Deputies arrived on the scene quickly and found the suspect still inside the bank. She was taken into custody. She's currently being questioned by detectives. Information from the scene is that the would-be robber passed a note to the manager demanding $6,000 from the vault, and the note read that if the manager complied, she'd give him a BJ.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. Wow. That's pretty cool.
I'm assuming that's what it says. It says he would be rewarded with a sexual favor.
How many teeth did she have?
I'm going to go with BJ. I haven't seen a mugshot, so okay. I do not know,
it
Steve.
Might have been worth the $6,000.
If he refused, she would claim that he had sexually assaulted her. This is by far the most unique bank robbery I've ever
Unbelievable.
Heard of. Yes, here's a picture of her. Steve, she's not smiling, but she looks young enough to where she
not,
might have
not
all
bad.
Her teeth. Yeah.
All right.
The woman will be taken to the county jail to await formal charges. You got to give her points for originality
so
on that one.
So what button does the teller push when they're offered a BJ?
I don't know. It's got to be a special one.
A special button.
Yeah. A high school senior ended up in police custody on Tuesday after he was seen riding a dirt bike through the school's hallway. The student was charged
you can't do that, right?
With simple assault and disorderly conduct. The assault charge came as a result of the bike's handlebar making contact with the student. Being struck by the handlebar only caused the student a minor injury, but video of the incident shows the student riding through the halls before being stopped and taken away in police custody.
Is this the end of the year pranks?
Yeah. This is it. Yep, that's exactly what this is. In fact, the police described it as a stunt or a prank.
Yep.
According to the school's website, it came on the same day as the senior yearbook signing and the day before senior academic awards. No word as to whether the stunt would affect the student's ability to go to prom next week or graduate with his class on June 21st. There's no way they're going to let him graduate his class.
Did you see the one that was really brilliantly done? They got like half a car and painted a picture that looked like it had driven through the principal's office wall.
Yeah, they made the wall black and it looked like bricks were falling all over the place.
No,
it
I was, didn't see that.
They it's actually brilliant. Gave him points for creativity on that.
So, okay, I want to see that.
Yep. A man in Texas needed 26 doses of anti-venom after being bitten by the severed head of a 4-foot rattlesnake.
So the head was already off the snake and still had enough biting power.
I've heard that this can happen. Jennifer Sutcliffe from Corpus Christi said that her husband had been clearing the yard on Memorial weekend when he saw and decapitated a rattlesnake. But as the man picked up the snake to get rid of it, the head bit him and released an almost fatal amount of venom. Apparently, if the head is severed, it actually releases more venom into you.
That's what makes snakes so much fun.
Yeah, it said, since there was no body, it released all of its venom into him at that point, so he had a lot of venom. She had driven her husband to the hospital following the bite.
Yeah, I met a guy last year who had killed a rattlesnake and eaten it, and he did the same thing. He severed the head with a shovel, and then I was like, well, what do you do with the head after you sever it, because it still has the venom in it?
Puppet.
And what's that?
Make it a puppet.
No, you can't do that. But there is certain protocol. You're like supposed to bury it or,
really?
Or whatever. Yeah, because
it's that venomous.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, look at this. What this guy went through.
I mean, even if it was a skeleton, it would still have the venom in it.
Skeleton snakes.
Is there anything
scarier?
She couldn't get him to the emergency room quickly enough. So she met with an ambulance en route. They said a normal person who's going to get bit gets about 2 to 4 doses of anti-venom. This guy needed 26 doses.
Jesus.
And that stuff will necrotize and, like, kill the flesh. While the man's injuries were life-threatening, he is in a stable condition following the treatment, apparently.
Did he say he enjoyed it or not, Preston?
There was no comment from the man after the
Steve,
incident.
I had also heard that baby rattlesnake bites are actually worse than adult ones because they don't know to let go.
They don't know to let go.
And they'll hang on you and then just keep pumping the venom in.
Yeah.
Knowing to let go, it's important.
A BC couple whose religious views are too extreme even for churches and pastors and put them at odds with families, with their family, doctors, social workers, and anyone else trying to help them with their daughter have lost their battle for custody of her. The unusual child custody trial featured the couple speaking in tongues to a stuffed animal they said transmitted the word of God directly to them and refusing legal assistance because Jesus Christ, through the stuffed lion, was their lawyer, witness, and judge. In November, when the girl was 1 year old, the Court of British Columbia formally declared that she was in need of protection and placed her in custody, a decision that the parents appealed to the BC Supreme Court.
Would the stuffed lion please approach the bench?
The parents claimed the judge violated their charter rights, discriminating against them as Christians and made procedural errors. Both parents were raised in Christian homes, she in Ontario, he in BC, but strayed from their roots until reconnecting with their beliefs as adults. They met in 2014 and shared a mutual interest in their own emerging view of the Christian faith and were privately married a year later. Now, they had unstable working and living arrangements, moving around various communities. Their views started interfering with their relationships with others, including Christian communities. Several churches banned them and even called police for assistance when the couple set out to purge churches of evil influences.
Now, is this at the time when they started seeking legal counsel from the stuffed animal?
No, that was later on. After the birth of their child, they were criminally charged with causing a disturbance after police were called to a church where the parents were trying to cleanse demonic influences.
They obviously lost in court because the prosecuting attorney was a Cabbage Patch doll.
After the birth of their daughter, the parents refused all medical tests and procedures for her, including a heart test, blood test, eye drops, vitamin K shot. The mother also said she was unwilling to have her vaccinated.
Wow.
Because of concerns over family violence and mental health, the ministry monitored the family, and when their child custody case came to court, the couple refused legal aid. They said they had legal help, which came in the form of a stuffed lion. During the trial, the couple spoke to the lion in non-discernible words presented as speaking in tongues.
I'm sorry, that would have been a blast to watch that.
Yeah, and in fact, we have a...
Do we have it?
I think we have.
Oh, we have audio, even better.
Him, speaking in tongues to their...
We have the opening statement,
yeah,
Preston.
Here it is.
Boop-dee-doop.
Yeah.
Scoop-dee-dee-whoop. Boop-dee-scoop.
That's the opening statement.
Yeah.
That's great.
Scoop-dee-whoop.
Yeah.
And who knew it would become a hit?
Yep. They told each witness that their lawyer, Jesus, was asking the questions through them.
Through the stuffed animal.
In the end, yes, the judge did not find them to be credible and ruled in favor of the ministry and placed the baby in continuing care. So,
I'm so glad they have kids.
Yep.
93.3 WMMR. Audio on demand.
Well, there's a new Nordic lifestyle trend. All right. And it is the actual name for it is Kalsarikani.
Kalsarikani.
But the anglicized word, the anglicized finished word is pants drunk.
Pants drunk.
It is a term that literally means drinking at home, alone, in your underwear.
Huh.
And yes, in Finland,
have you done?
This is a full-fledged national celebrated pastime. In fact, pants drunk, yes, I have done pants drunk, is such an established part of Finnish culture that the country's Ministry of Foreign Affairs even talks about it in its guide to the country. And now pants drunk is set to become a thing in the UK thanks to a new book by Finnish writer Miska Rantanen called Pants Drunk, The Finnish Art of Drinking at Home, Alone, in Your Underwear. In the book, Miska explains how Finns started drinking in their underwear as a way of coping with the country's long, dark winters when no one could be bothered to wear multiple layers to trek out and meet their friends. So they decided to stay at home in one layer and drink in the warmth instead. People are totally on board with the concept, by the way. And no surprise that Finland was just named the happiest place on Earth.
Oh, so it's Finland. Okay.
Yep.
Because there's also a trend, and I don't know if it's in Finland or Norway or Sweden, one of those countries where at 10 o'clock every night, people open up their windows and shout like a howl like wolves.
Yeah, I remember you mentioned that a while back.
What country is that?
I've forgotten which one.
It's one of those Scandinavian
Wolfistan
countries. Yeah, Wolfistan.
It's Wolfistan. Hey, a bagpiper, was cuffed by police in front of shocked tourists after playing too loudly. John McDonald was arrested during a police crackdown on noisy street performers.
It's a freaking bagpipe!
Officers had given him a yellow card warning over the sound levels and then hauled him away when he refused to hand over his details. Cops claim
I don't have my details. I left them in my pants.
They are reacting to complaints from fed-up neighbors in Edinburgh and admitted none had been made on the day that they arrested John, though. Fellow piper Thomas Wilson, who saw the musician get lifted on Sunday, said none of us want hassle from the police. To get arrested for playing the pipes is disgraceful.
It's disgraceful.
He said the piper had stopped playing and then he started speaking to the police. When they asked him for his details, he refused, rightly in my opinion, as he had done nothing wrong. A source close to John added, it's ridiculous. No one else had a problem with the noise.
Here's what I suggest you do. Put your head under my kill and eat my ass.
He said, it's the Royal Mile. People expect noise and entertainment. It's what makes it special. So he was arrested, and they're going to try to crack down on the pipers around that area. In New Jersey, this is a great story. On Friday, June 1st, Trooper Michael Patterson stopped a guy named Matthew Bailey for a minor motor vehicle violation in Kingwood Township. During the initial conversation, Mr. Bailey told the Trooper Patterson that he was a retired Piscataway police officer. Well, Trooper Patterson, being a Piscataway native, told Mr. Bailey that he's from the same town. And now here's where things get interesting. Mr. Bailey asked Trooper Patterson where he used to live. And when Patterson told him that he grew up on Poe Place, Mr. Bailey said that he remembered that street because he had helped deliver a baby there 27 years ago when he was a rookie cop. He was even able to describe the color and style of the house and the baby's name, which is Michael. Trooper Patterson extended his hand and said, my name is Michael Patterson, sir. Thank you for delivering me.
What?
That's very cool.
Isn't that awesome? So what had happened is Patterson had stopped the officer who delivered him 27 years ago, and Mr. Bailey had 4 years on the job when he responded to a home. The date was October 5th, 1991. The trooper's mother, Karen, was out shopping when she went into labor. She barely made it home. Her father, the boy's father, rushed outside, picked up his wife, and carried her inside the house. He then called the doctor, who talked Officer Bailey through the birth. Needless to say, Trooper Patterson and Matthew Bailey and both of their families were ecstatic about the reunion. Trooper Patterson and his mother went and visited Mr. Bailey at his and his wife at their home.
That's very cool.
They took some pictures. I thought that was a nice story.
Then he tased him.
Then he tased him, and now there's a lawsuit.
Did he still get the ticket?
You know what? I don't know.
Oh, yeah. They impounded the car.
And then, you know what? We'll end with this one. A man told police that he had taken LSD and thought he was living a real-life version of the video game Grand Theft Auto when he stole a car in front of patrol deputies.
That could be a problem.
And led them on an over 40-mile-long chase through Jackson County on Saturday.
Now, did he punch any hookers like everyone does in the game?
Two deputies were awaiting a tow truck to haul away a 2003 Toyota Camry along Oregon 66. After arresting the driver on an unrelated drunken driving case, when the 23-year-old Anthony J. Clark got inside, according to the sheriff's office, he then just drove off, evading one of the deputy's efforts to stop him while speeding. He crashed through chain-link fences, off the roadway, ran over spike strips twice, drove the wrong way down several roads. After several attempts, a patrol car managed to bump the rear of the Toyota, caused Clark to spin out. So he'd done this for 40 miles.
Jesus.
Yeah. Clark tried hitting a patrol car and then ran from the Toyota. He fled into a mobile home park and was arrested by police as he was trying to steal another car. Well, the sheriff's office reported no one being hurt during the chase. Clark admitted to drug use and apparently hallucinating while being interviewed by authorities. A deputy wrote in the affidavit that Clark walked up to him and told him that he was stealing the car. He got into the Toyota before the deputy was able to stop him and used the keys left in the door to start the car. Deputy managed to open the door and grab onto Clark's shirt, but he accelerated, and that's how he got away initially. So this guy said that he thought he was playing Grand Theft Auto because he was on LSD and couldn't tell the difference.
That's wonderful.
Isn't that wonderful? And that's what I have in the B-File.
Thanks for listening to Preston and Steve's Bizarre File podcast. Go to PrestonandSteve.com, click on demand for full show podcasts, and to subscribe so you never miss an episode.